everybody. Welcome in for another episode of Vol Club Confidential, sponsored by our great friends at Knoxville Smiles. I'm your host, Austin Price of VolQuest.com. Coming up tonight on the show, we have Tennessee tight end Miles Kitzelman. But before we get to him, we bring in Will Watkins of the Volunteer Club. And Will, a lot of exciting times. We got the big tailgate at Oklahoma coming up this weekend. Absolutely. After Tennessee moving to 3-0 last weekend against Kent State.
Love it. Yep. We'll be a big presence outside of Oklahoma. So I want to encourage everybody to come out and see us. Make sure you go into the app, reserve your tickets. We'll be right there outside the stadium on the corner of Jenkins and Asp, I think is the street, but right outside the stadium. Can't miss us. Lots of white tents. But again, get your ticket in the app, reserve your space, and we'll get you guys more information this week.
Oklahoma's an exciting game because Tennessee fans have had the chance to go there once, but most of the fan base will have not have been there, so it's an opportunity for those that haven't been to go to one of the new schools. We'll have to wait at least a couple more years for Texas with them just flipping the schedule next year. A lot of new things and exciting things in the app, including a new show that you're piloting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to make sure everybody's going into the app, checking out all the content we have. I'm biased towards my new show with Thomas Wharton, so it's called The More Steam Show. So we're breaking down the opponent in depth each week, kind of going through the depth and the scheme, kind of talking X's and O's a little bit. Thomas is a great mind on the football side, so we look at each team, break down the opportunity that we have that week, and kind of go through the game. So I want to make sure everybody's checking that out. But that's not the only content on there. Like right now, last week, Kate Runyon, Lady Vols soccer player, had a behind-the-scenes travel episode. So we've got tons of new content coming out. So make sure, again, check out the app. Make sure you're checking out all the content we have.
And, of course, all the things that we put at VolQuest, Eric Kane with Locked On.
Yeah, absolutely.
Josh Pate, all those things are on there. So it's a one-stop shop.
That is the goal. We want it to be an aggregate. If you're looking for Tennessee content, the app is the place to be. So the Volunteer Club app has, you know, everything you could possibly want from college football, college basketball, anything Tennessee-related, you can find it in the app.
You can find it all on the Volunteer Club app, including his new show, More Steam.
More Steam.
Make sure you go and check it out. Now, for more on the great people at Knoxville Smiles, let's take a listen to Lance Hurd.
Knoxville Smiles depend on us to make your smile better. Knoxville Smiles, are you happy with your smile today? Knoxville Smiles, we're all about smiles.
Hey Lance, what makes you smile?
Pancake blocks.
Miles, when you got here, kind of what were the expectations, like internally in your mind? You know, what were you hoping to accomplish when you got to Tennessee?
Just getting on the field was the first thing in my mind. You know, coming from Alabama and not really getting to play a whole lot, my whole objective in the portal was just get somewhere that I can get on the field, and after that I can show people what I can do. So my expectations coming in were just to prove the coaches that you know, I'm more than just a big guy that can block. I can do stuff out in space. I'm smart. I can pick up on things and stuff like that. So my expectations were just to come in and really just impress coaches and get the respect of my teammates right off the bat.
What do you think just from the outside looking in, what do you think the notion was when Tennessee, you know, got your commitment there and, you know, after the first of the year?
I mean, it's kind of been like this my whole life. I've been kind of, not necessarily doubted, but kind of doubted. You know, I was a zero star coming out of high school. Didn't have really any offers. And so I feel like coming in here, it was kind of the same deal. And this is not against anybody, but kind of just, he's, you know, 6'5 and a half, 6'6, 255. Like, he's just going to be a bigger guy, kind of some depth for us. You know, be a third and short guy, you know, that kind of stuff. So I feel like that's kind of what the expectations were. Like, I didn't really play a whole lot of Alabama, so when you don't have film, it's hard to have high hopes. Kind of just taking a shot on a kid. And so I feel like what people expected were just come in for some depth, be good at blocking, that kind of stuff.
Coming out of high school, you played defensive end, mm-hmm. and you could have went Division II, but you chose to go the junior college route just to see if you could develop into something, which mm-hmm. worked out for you, right? I mean, you ended up signing with Alabama. So, I mean, like,
right.
You go from, as you said, no stars with nothing to, you know, one of the premier college programs, and now to hear two of the premier college programs in all of college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, growing up in a small town where nobody goes D1. I mean, all my friends didn't even go to college, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the expectations are just set low, I guess, where I'm coming from. And so, you know, growing up was always just like, yeah, you'll probably just go to your local D2 and have a good season, have a good career, you know, play your 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, and be done with it. And so growing up, just always, you know, people were asking me, what are you going to do for college? I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to go to my local D2 here and, you know, just have fun. And luckily, shout out to my dad and my uncle. They're like, Miles, like, we can't let you do this. First of all, you know, DNs are hybrid, like freak athletes. They told me I'm not a freak athlete, and I knew that. And they're like, second of all, you have way too much hand-eye coordination and smarts to not go play tight end and see what you can do with it. And at first I kind of fought it because, I mean, it was scary. Like, I've never been away from home, and then all of a sudden, I know this is going to sound funny, but, you know, Hutch is about 3.5 hours away from home, and, you know, you don't know if you're going to walk in there and, you know, Hutch is a premier JUCO college to where it's like, man, I could go in there and not even see the field. But, you know, my dad and my uncle and my family talked me into it and said that you need to go bet on yourself. And I did. And I walked into Hutch, had some great coaches there that believed in me, and the rest is history. But
one of those coaches was Coach Cook, mm-hmm. who ends up being here. And he stood on the table for you when Tennessee was kind of maybe looking for a tight end, maybe not. Right. You know, after they had added Holden, said, you know, told Coach Ablin, you know, hey, this guy has twitch. This guy can run routes. Mm-hmm. Like, what did that relationship mean for you just to kind of get your foot in the door here?
Yeah, me and Coach Cook have a huge love-hate relationship. I would say tough love is probably a better word for that. I got to Hutch, and Coach Cook was the wide receivers coach. And I remember one day I ran a route, and I remember him just cussing me out, saying that that's the worst route he's ever seen. Like, don't ever put that stuff on tape again. And I had never really talked to him before. And I just looked at him, and I was like, well, then coach me then. And, you know, for the next 6 months, every morning at 6:30, we were doing footwork with the wide receivers. And that really took my game to the next level. And honestly, that's what got me to Alabama, and that's what got me noticed. And so Coach Cook got a really good opportunity to see who I was, you know, a small town, tough kid, blue collar, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, he developed me into somebody that can do both. And so for him to be here, and for Abes to trust him when he says, like, no, this kid's going to come in, he's a hard worker, and not only is he big and physical and tough, but he's going to be able to do some stuff for you out in space.
I remember during spring practice, there started to be that little chatter out there, like, you know, this kid's good, this kid's going to play, this kid, you know, is catching everything, comes, and he's an athlete and all this. And, like, was there a moment in spring practice where you were like, yeah, there we go, I've got a little momentum here? Like, I mean, what was it? Was there a catch? Was there a practice where you walked off the field and said, I think they got their eyes opened a little bit today?
For sure. You know, confidence is everything. And every ball player knows that. And so to come here and, you know, not really seeing the field for the past 2 years, my confidence was not where it needed to be. And for the coaches to just believe in me and see what I can do and just instill that confidence in me every single day. And there was one practice that stood out a little bit in spring for me. My dad was actually there, was able to make it. And I ended up, you know, having 3 or 4 touchdowns that day. And I had a jump ball, a fade ball, and I had to go over a DB and go grab it. And that was my first fade ball that I had ran in forever. And I made a tough contested, and Nico threw a perfect ball. And that was really whenever I was like, man, dude, like, I can really do this. Because I had never really done that kind of stuff out in space. And, you know, that was really whenever I was like, okay, like, I can do this. And P-Fant was there, and he ended up saying something to Coach Abe's like, hey, man, that 87 can move. And I was like, okay, well, if somebody in the NFL is saying that I can move, then, you know, like, let's do this. Like, you know, the confidence just continues to build. And we got a long ways to go, but yeah, that practice in spring was really good for me mentally.
You've had a couple home games now. You've got the NC State, you know, neutral site game. When you've caught that touchdown, kind of take me what's going through your mind. Like,
Who are you looking for? Are you looking for anybody in the stands? Did you know where your parents were? I mean, like all that stuff. Like, what? Take me through that play. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it's set up for, you know, to dupe out the secondary, and they were duped. You were wide open.
Yeah. So to start off with, pointing up to the stands. Unfortunately, my grandma passed away about 3 or 4 weeks ago. My dad's mom, and so, you know, we're talking. You know, before that, we were all talking about, well, what's your touchdown celebration going to be? And I always wanted to be the Gronk spike, but it can't be that. And so I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to point at you, Dad. And like, we're all going to know what that means. And it's funny. But, you know, throughout the game, I try to look for my family when I can. You know, when I'm off on the sidelines, I'm like kind of peeking up there to see where they're at. And I couldn't find them. And when I scored that touchdown, the second I turned around to look for them, I see my dad and my uncle and my girlfriend up there, and immediately found them. And I was like, pointed at them. And so that meant a lot to me. But as far as the play, yeah, I mean, Coach Hosley did a great job of setting that play up. You know, all night was just hitting the corner, blocking the corner, blocking the corner, blocking out, and then all of a sudden, block out, safety loses his eyes on me, who has me man, and you know, get up into the flat. But yeah, I mean, that was awesome. That experience happened so fast. I didn't think it was going to happen that fast going through my mind, you know, thinking about it before, but it all happened so fast. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, I could find my family up in the stands and give them that little recognition. But
yeah, we love grandmas on this show.
Yes, we do.
Everybody knows grandmas are the best.
Yes, we
and
do.
Grandmas too. I thought the play that got called back, though, was even a greater illustration of your athleticism. I mean, backpedaling, I mean, I think most of us would have been flat on our butt backpedaling as quickly as you were on that play, on that scramble drill. And still not sure that call was the correct call, but it was what it was, yeah. Right? You know, how much do you kind of, like, you talk about having that kind of feel for Nico.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when did you kind of know that he kind of had a, you know, a good vibe with you and vice versa?
As far as on that play?
No, just in general. Like, I mean, like, that one's one, gotcha. Like, where, like, you just, you're like, right. All right, boom, and like, he's looking for you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can kind of tell you all kind of jive.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just takes repetition for somebody to believe in you. And that goes for any position, but especially with quarterback, man, like, you got to make some tight throws and some tight windows, and, you know, it can get really complex on different looks, different coverages, and all that kind of stuff. So I think just through the spring and through fall camp, you know, me and Nico talking after plays, like, hey, if it's this look, you need to do this. If it's this look, you need to do this. And he came up to me before the game. He was like, hey, if we get this look, I need you to do this. And I was like, okay, got it. So stuff like that, to where, you know, Nico's a super smart kid, very smart. And, you know, just to, over the last 9 months, going over every single look you could possibly think of, and me and him working things out where you build that confidence, plays like that broke. I mean, that's just ball players being ball players. And I didn't think Nico was going to be able to get that ball to me, but I forgot how good he was. Man, someone in your face throwing it 50 yards, pretty crazy. But
through a couple games, you've each got a touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. The first two games, like that's a, you know, that's pretty neat that everybody in the tight end room that's playing,
mm-hmm.
Has a touchdown. How close is that unit? Because everybody talks about it. Coach Heupel's talked about it, just that unit being just super tight. When, like, you know, there's a competitiveness to everybody, but
right.
It seems like, you know, you guys are able to put it away once practice ends.
Yeah, I think we all kind of realize, like, there's a place for everybody in this offense, and it's not just going to be, you know, one guy running the show. You know, when you get 70, 80 snaps in a game, like, those snaps need to be shared. And so to be able to realize that, everybody grow up and be men about it and go, okay, like, at that point, I'm not preying on anybody's downfall. I'm trying to get you as best as you can, because when I come out of the game, I need you to be on your stuff. And so, you know, when you go through that every single day and you have, you know, Holden and Ethan calling me out and me calling them out when they're not doing the standard and when I'm not doing the standard and that kind of stuff, that relationship, like, that's when you truly get that bond. And, you know, for over the last 9 months, that bond just continues to get better and better, and our connection continues to get better and better. And, man, this is the best group, tight end group I've been a part of, and these guys man, they're a lot more than just my teammates. They're brothers for sure.
What do you like about Coach Abel?
I really like how Coach Abes, he feels like one of the guys when it's okay to feel like one of the guys, if that makes sense. You know, there's always, you know, my dad always said there's a time and place for fun and there's a time and place for work. And I think Coach Abes does a great job of, you know, when you're sitting in meetings for 2 hours, you know, it's nice to have a position coach that can laugh a little bit, joke a little bit. But when it's time to get down to business, he gets down to it. And when it's time to get honest about something, he gets honest about it. And I can really respect that about somebody, not always being work, work, work. Like, man, sometimes you need to let up a little bit, especially when you spend 14 hours a day in a facility. So I'd say that's my biggest thing I love about Coach Abes.
What makes you smile?
Football, golf, my girlfriend, my family.
All right, for more on smiling and Knoxville smiles, here's a look at them.
I'm Tennessee basketball player J.P. Estrella. Let me give you a tour here of the offices at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Costa is placing implants with a robot, and it's all done digitally. There's no guessing with this since it's all robotic. Dr. Welko is the newest addition to the office. He loves to research the latest and greatest in technology, so the other doctors go to him for the newest product information and techniques. Dr. Malone is building teeth in the mouth. To him, cosmetic bonding is more like artwork. He does this without cutting your teeth down. It's all about building them up.
Guys, we still have a problem. Do y'all have a bigger chair?
Continue to get your questions in on the Volunteer Club app. As for this week's question to Miles Kitzelman, we've got a three-parter from three special youngsters.
Here we go.
What's the hardest hit that somebody hit you?
Hardest hit that somebody hit me, I would have to say, is probably Arion Carter. Fitting up, split flow. Man, that kid can bring it.
Who's your hero?
I'd have to say my hero is my dad, for sure. Has definitely made me into the man that I am today and continues to be there and guide me in the right way and just treats me great life skills. And, yeah, he's my hero.
What's the best advice he's ever got?
Be who you say you're going to be. If you say that you're going to be somebody, then do it. If you say that you're going to work hard, work hard. If you say that you're going to wake up early, wake up early. If you say that you're going to give it your all, give it your all. So that's what I got.
Continue to get your questions in on the Volunteer Club app. Maybe, just maybe, your question will be answered by one of the players or coaches that are right here on Vol Club Confidential, sponsored by Knoxville Smiles each and every week. Before the break for Knoxville Smiles, you referenced golf as something that makes you smile. You and Coach Abelin have that very much in common, mm-hmm. as he loves golf. He's bragged on you. He says you can play quite a bit. Kind of, you know, can really put it out there, you know, off the tee. Kind of, you know, where did the love for golf come from? And how long have you been playing?
For sure. My dad played golf in college and played golf in high school. And, you know, as us youngsters were growing up, he didn't get to play as much. But he tried to get me to play in high school. And obviously golf was just too boring for me in high school. And all of a sudden I get down to Alabama and in the summers you got a little bit of free time and I'm like, oh, my buddies are going golfing. I'm like, I need to go golfing. So my dad, you know, without a doubt, goes and buys me a set of clubs and, you know, he comes down to Tuscaloosa and street, you know, we go out to the range and he's giving me tips and all that kind of stuff. And so I've been playing here for about 2 years now and you know, I got my dad as a coach, and it's been a lot of fun.
Coach Abelin, you know, can put it out there pretty good for somebody that has to put down the clubs for long, long stretches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know whenever I go out, you know, during the season, we don't really get any time to go out and play. And when I come back in the spring and try to go out there, it's rough. So for somebody that doesn't really get to play, you know, me and him actually got to go and play together. And, man, he was striping, and it was like the first time he'd play in like 2 or 3 months. And me and him actually scrambled together and beat my dad and my uncle. So that was nice. Yeah.
You got bragging rights.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's probably the only bragging rights I'll have on my dad in golf is when I scramble against him.
You never know. You just continue to keep playing.
Yeah, well, now he's starting to get retired, so that's all he does is golf. So he keeps getting better and better, and I keep getting worse and worse.
Do you wish you had taken advantage of Prairie Dunes out there in Hutchinson, Kansas?
Yeah. So my tight ends coach at Hutch – was a huge golfer and tried to get me out there. But at that time, I wasn't playing. And I was like, man, I'm not going golfing. Looking back, I missed out. stuff.
Yes, yes, you did. But guess what? You can always go back as an alum and try to cash in.
Well, I don't know how Prairie Dunes is going to compare up to the golf courses out here. Man, up here in the Smoky Mountains, these golf courses are crazy. They're amazing.
Prairie Dunes is pretty special.
I'll have to go see it.
It's pretty special. What's something most people don't know about you?
What's something most people don't know about me? Well, I was going to say I'm a good golfer. What's something that most people don't know about me? Yeah, I'm going to have to think about this one.
All right, you got the girlfriend.
Got the girlfriend. I've had her for...
Where's she from?
She's from Wichita, which is about... Wichita, Kansas, yeah. Which is about 30 minutes south of Hutchinson. So we met... she was running track and playing volleyball, dual sport. And so we'd be out there practicing, and she'd be running around the track. And I started asking some of the guys, like, who's that? Who's that? And we ended up meeting, and the rest is history.
What was the first date to?
First date? Oh, this is embarrassing. Well, in Hutchinson, Kansas, you don't really have too many options. But that was Sonic. And, we got... God, what did I get? I got a cookie dough blast, and she got like a sugar-free raspberry water, and made me feel terrible. But
was this during the half-off time, like half-off limeades?
Yeah, it was. But
you even went cheaper than that, huh?
Yeah, I did. But I did pay. I did pay for her 99-cent raspberry water. So
you overcame.
I did. I really went overboard on that one. Yeah, I don't know if she was ever going to talk to me again.
What's been your go-to date out here? Has she been out here, I assume?
We go to Chivo. Down there on Gay Street.
Yeah,
cause some good chips and queso and some guac. Yeah, that's been it.
Your go-to meal?
My go-to meal is definitely going to be a filet mignon loaded baked potato, medium rare for sure.
Is that what you had at the Roots Chris the night you committed to the staff?
Yeah, that's actually what made me commit.
Those 300 degree plates or whatever they are.
Yeah, I know. I burned myself on that for sure. He even told me, but I was too hungry.
Some place you've never been to that you'd like to go to?
Bali. Yeah, my one of my teammates from Alabama just took his honeymoon to Bali, and yeah, it looked pretty crazy. I really want to go there.
Do you feel old now that you've got teammates that are getting married? I mean, of course, Keenan's been married, so he's a new teammate for you. And when you're talking about one of your older teammates, but I mean, you know, now here you are. Is there pressure? I mean,
so in my defense, my old teammate was a Marine for 6 years.
Okay.
So similar to Keenan, where he took some time off, he took 6 years off, served our country, and then came back. So I think he just turned 27, and his wife is 29. So. Kind of, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely one of my best friends from back home. He actually plays D1 ball out in Utah Tech. Him and his girl have been together for a year and a half, 2 years, and they just got engaged. So that's the one that really put some pressure on me. She's like, well, we've been dating for almost 3 years. And I'm like, all right. Yeah, really Dane, my buddy that just got engaged. I was kind of mad at him.
Is the family coming out for every game?
My dad and uncle make it to every game. My mom, I got a little 10-year-old brother who actually just started his first tackle youth football game. So she's, got a little one back home to still go to games and all that kind of stuff.
Who's the one person, if I ask you to pull your phone out right now, and you can't use the girlfriend.
Okay.
Who's the one person you know will answer if you call? You can always depend on.
Dane Whalen.
All right. Call him.
Call him.
Put him on speaker. Right. We do this every week on the show. Last year it was Jordan LeBron. This year it's a little more interactive.
Oh, man. He's out in Utah right now, so it's, 6:13. So let's see if he answers.
He might be at practice. Could he be at practice?
He might. They do early practice, so he might be at meetings still.
Hello, gorgeous.
What are you doing, buddy?
What's going on, dude?
I'm sitting here on a podcast, and they asked me who's the one person I could count on to answer the phone, and I said old Dane Whalen.
Hey.
And you answered. Okay. You did not disappoint with the old "Hey, gorgeous." I can always count on you.
Hey, I gotta pick you up every now and then. You know?
I know.
You do look in the mirror every day.
I know. How was practice today?
What podcast you on?
What podcast am I on? It's for
It's called Vol Club Confidential.
Vol Club Confidential. So we're just answering some questions, getting to know me a little bit, and had to call the old best friend. I told him that you just got engaged and you put the pressure on me. So thanks for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hope Haley's annoying you for
it. Yeah, she is. All right, buddy. Well, I'll see you later. Thanks for answering.
All right. You got it. See you, big guy.
All right. See you, bud.
Oh, the legendary Dan Whalen.
Yep.
I assume, will you be best man in his wedding, or at least a groomsman, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, groomsman. I don't know about best man. He's got another kid that he grew up with, but for sure groomsman. And he'll be right up there with me.
Do you have that kind of pegged out in your mind, who's going to be a groomsman in this wedding that will eventually come?
Yeah, well, that's tough because, you know, being at three different colleges, and then obviously I was at the same high school for my entire life. So you got, you know, I actually had three buddies come down to the game, Chattanooga, that are my ride or dies. So they got to be in the wedding. And then you got, you know, two or three guys from Bama. And, you know, hopefully here in the next couple months, continue to grow relationships and have a couple guys from here and a couple guys from Hutch. I don't know if Haley has enough. I don't know if she has enough bridesmaids to keep up.
So it's normally the opposite.
Right? I know. But, Dylan Meyer, best man, grew up together with him, known him since I was 2 years old, so he's a lock. And you got a brother, you got people like Dane, so it's going to be tough. But everybody's coming on the bachelor trip. Yeah, everybody's coming.
You got Abel, and he's getting married after the first of the year.
He is, and the tight ends aren't invited. Isn't that some crazy stuff?
You know why?
Yeah, I know.
Alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Even though you're old enough.
Yep. It's against the rules. But I was still disappointed.
I know. He didn't invite you on his bachelor trip either.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be good either. Probably more alcohol there.
He shot 144 at the ocean course.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Oh, that was so funny because he golfed with me like right before that and went out and shot like an 82 and then.
It's a different level,
yeah,
which is what Prairie Dunes is, a different level.
Yeah, and out there in Hutch, you're going to have 30-mile-an-hour winds. You can bet on it. But
Kansas, are you a Chiefs guy?
Yeah, I'm a Chiefs guy. I was a Packers guy there for a while because of Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
His hometown is about 45 minutes away from where I grew up, and I loved Aaron Rodgers, and Jordy Nelson was just fun to watch. But, yeah, I'm a big Chiefs guy.
87
all the way.
Was that what number you wanted when you got here, or was that just kind of what they gave you?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted that at Alabama, but
is it because of Jordy Nelson?
No, that's for Gronk.
Okay.
Yeah, Gronk's my guy.
I follow now, yeah.
Yeah. Gronk spike number. Not quite as big or talented as him, but gotta have the number.
Mount Rushmore of tight ends. Who you got?
This might upset some people. But it is what it is. Gronk, number one. And I'm going to go Jason Witten, number two. And then George Kittle, number three. That's really going to upset some people. And then Travis Kelce, number four. The reason behind George being above Travis, and Travis is a phenomenal player. Obviously, we all know that. But if you go and like what is a tight end? A tight end is somebody who can go cut out a C-gap, block man on duo, and then go in big body and be a mismatch outside. Well, if you look at Travis Kelce's film, pull up a clip where he's driving Aiden Hutchinson into the ground or putting Joey Bosa on his back, or Nick Bosa. Travis isn't doing that. And so if you're going to call Travis a tight end, the greatest tight end of all time, you got to show me some of that because that's part of being a tight end. If not, put him in the Hall of Fame as a wide receiver. And that's not to put any dirt on Travis's career because obviously it's been phenomenal. But you look at George Kittle's film and it's like, man, that's a tight end. That is somebody who is unselfish, you watch receiver, he's like, I don't care. I love blocking. I love blocking more than I do going and catching touchdowns. And, that's what a tight end's all about because when you're really good at blocking, the touchdowns just fall on top of that. So that's kind of my reason behind it. And I know a lot of people still won't agree with me, but that's just my opinion.
No, I think you picked four good ones. I mean, I don't think you could. And there's always one. You could go Tony Gonzalez.
Go Ozzie Newsome, who created the tight end position.
Kellen Winslow.
Yeah. Antonio Gates is up there.
Mark
Andrews is up there. I mean, there's a bunch of studs, but those guys are just different.
I feel you. What's one thing you do since you got to Knoxville that maybe you didn't do elsewhere?
For sure. I will say, Alabama, I definitely lost a lot of hope. You know, whenever I got the offer, I was like, man, I'm going to step in there, and I'm going to be on the field, and man, I'm going to be playing for Alabama. I'm going to be playing for Nick Saban, and then I get there, and it didn't quite turn out like that. I wasn't quite ready physically, and, you know, it just wasn't the turnout that I was expecting, so I lost a lot of hope. So, like I mentioned earlier with Coach Cook, where, you know, I'm up every morning, I'm doing my footwork, I'm keying in on film and all that extra stuff that really took my game to the next level, I got to Bama, and I stopped doing those things. I really did, because I lost hope. I was like, man, if there's no hope, why would I get up an extra hour early to go do footwork? Or why would I stay an extra hour late to watch film when I'm not even going to be on the field? Which is the complete wrong way I took that. But I would say just coming back here into Knoxville and these coaches believing in me and me believing in myself and just having hope again, it's like, man, like I got another chance. I got a second, like God gave me a second chance, and there's no way I'm gonna let this slip through like I did over there at that other school. So, I mean, just extra footwork during the summers for sure, after practice, trying to key in on the jugs, just getting my hands right, extra film, all that extra stuff.
I'm sure you're looking forward to the Alabama game. We won't give them any bulletin board material, but I do wonder, I have to go back and look, I do wonder if Tennessee were to win this year, if you would be the first player to ever be able to smoke the cigar on both sides of the rivalry.
I don't know. I've never thought about that.
To wrap up, kind of, you know, what do you want to accomplish the rest of this year? I mean, I know the team stuff. That's, to me, common sense. But individually, what, you know, do you have things written down where you're like, you know, little goals that you're trying to check off? And
you know, I was never big on, like, writing down stats as goals. You know, I had goals set up that was whenever I first got here, you know, before I knew that all three of us tight ends were going to play, but it was like, you know, goals as far as, you know, no, you're going to outwork those other guys, and you're going to, do this. And every single morning you're going to wake up and you're going to do this. And every single day you're going to stay late and do this. And three times a week is route stuff footwork, and three times a week is working on the run game, and then two times a week is film. And so I never really wrote down like, hey, I want, you know, seven touchdowns and 500 yards this year, because I feel like if you kind of see yourself not necessarily getting those stats, that can kind of put you in the wrong headspace. So you know, my goals were a little different as far as, you know, like I mentioned earlier, what's the best advice I've ever gotten is be who you say you're going to be, do what you say you're going to do. And, you know, writing down those goals that say, no, every single day that alarm's going off at 5:30 and you're not hitting snooze. Like, you're getting up and you need to go and get your body right, do extra footwork. And then after practice, you need to stay and work on this. You need to work on this, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday is this. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday is this. You know, that was obviously during the summer. But, you know, those were my goals coming in, is to just be consistent is what I'm doing, and not fall back into those habits of hitting the snooze button.
Well, no snooze button here. You know, Tennessee matriculates to Norman, Oklahoma this coming weekend for a big game against the Sooners of Oklahoma. He'll have a lot of family in attendance not too far from his hometown over in Kansas. We'll see you in Norman.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.